I've entitled the message for this evening, God is Love. That's what it says, isn't it? Look at our text once again. Verse 7, 1 John chapter 4, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth, and this is talking about the love that's born of the new birth. No natural man has this love. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I've introduced a message like this before, but certain failure is the outcome of this message. Because I know that anything I say will fall far short of what ought to be said. So it's kind of a pleasing anticipation of failure, because I know I will not in any way give this subject what it's due. If I thought I could adequately handle this subject, all I'd prove is how ignorant I am of myself and the love of God. But let's give it a shot. God is love. The most difficult thing for me personally to get a hold of is that God loves me. I find such a hard time grasping that because I know me. I know a little bit about me. And I can see why He would in holy righteous hatred hate me. I can see that. But I have a hard time grasping this thing of the living God loving me. You know, one of my favorite hymns we sing, and this is one of the favorite lines of any hymn we sing, when we sing that song, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. When I read in Romans chapter 9, verse 13, of God saying, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, I'm not amazed by His hatred of Esau, because His hatred is a righteous hatred. It's a holy hatred. It's not like our hatred, vindictive and spiteful. It's with regard to the perfection of His nature. And I have no problem grasping Him hating Esau, but what I'm amazed of is His love for Jacob. Jacob have I loved. Now, when the Bible says God is love, and He says it once again in verse 16 of this same chapter, when the Bible says God is love, men are not astounded by that. They think, well, He ought to love me. That's His job, isn't it? I mean, doesn't a loving God love His creatures? He ought to love me. Now, let me say this. You're never going to find in the Scriptures the phrase, a loving God. God is love. But to call God a loving God is to say, here's love and God reaches that. No, God is love. God is not a loving God. God is love. Now, this is one of three statements in Scripture where it said that God is. One statement is, God is spirit. God is spirit. That means He doesn't have a physical body like you and I have. God is spirit means that He's omnipresent. You can't go anywhere where He's not. To say God is spirit is to say that God is invisible. You can't see Him. That's why He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. God is spirit. And then God is love. That's His nature. That's His character. That's who He is. God is love. God is spirit. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. That speaks of His holiness. And God is love. Not here is love, and God fits that description, but God is love. Paul says concerning this love that we're trying to talk about, it passeth knowledge. There's no way any human being can describe adequately the love of God. Now, the first thing I would want to say about the love of God is this. The love of God is in Christ. That's the first thing that we have to get down. The love of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why nothing can separate us, because that love is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He doesn't love anybody independently of Christ. All of God's love is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father loveth the Son and giveth all things into His hand. God's love is for those in Him. And outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing but God's righteous wrath. Nothing but God's perfect, holy condemnation. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of His love is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to be in Christ is to be eternally united to Christ. When we talk about being in Christ, this is mysterious. I love it more as I see it more in the Scriptures, and I do see this more in the Scriptures. This thing of being eternally united to the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm in Him, that means I'm united to Him. Now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 for just a moment. You know that Scripture in John chapter 17, verse 23, where it says that the world may know that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now think about that. You've loved them as you've loved your Son. God loves me with the same love He loves His Son. How can that be? How can that be? I know me. How can that be? Well, I can show you how that can be. Look here in Ephesians chapter 5. Paul says at the end of this chapter, talking about marriage being a picture of the relationship between Christ and His church. He says in verse 32, this is a great mystery. What I've been talking about, all this stuff about marriage, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, there's good statements about marriage here, but it's all truly about Christ and His church. Now, look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as also Christ loved the church, and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, men, you would be much better off to love your wives as your own bodies. It would end up being better for you. You would be advantaged by it. Your wife would probably treat you better. I think it's a good idea. But that's not even what this is talking about. Look at verse 28, the last phrase. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. When Christ loved His wife, that union was so great, it was Him loving Himself. And that's how God can say that He loves the believer as He loves His Son. Because the believer in this glorious union in Christ is Himself. The two cannot be separated. When Christ is loving His bride, He was loving Himself, and that's why He could say, Thou hast loved them as Thou hast loved me, because we cannot be separated from being in Him. And this is why God's love is so secure. This is why when you go home tonight and lay your pillow on your head, you can think, God is love, and all of God's love is in Christ, and in Him I can't be separated from His love, no matter what. Now, to think of the Father's love separate from the Son is debasing to God's love. Let me repeat that. To think of the love of God separate from the love He has to His Son is debasing and degrading to the love of God. All of God's love is in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves Christ and those who are eternally united to Him. God's love, like all of God's attributes, is holy. And this is a holy love. This love He bears for His Son and He bears for everybody in Him. Now here's the second thing I'd like to say about the love of God. The reason for God's love. Now I quoted that hymn, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me. A sinner, condemned, unclean. How could He love me? Give me a reason. What's the reason for God's love? The reason for God's love is in Himself. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 8. The Lord did not set His love upon you or choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of people, but because the Lord loved you. Now His love, listen real carefully, His love is utterly uninfluenced by anything about me or you. Romans 9:11, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good that would draw out God's love, or evil that would repel God's love. Children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. And that is why He can say, behold, I will love them freely, because His love is utterly uninfluenced by anything within me or you. There's nothing in me or you that draws out His love. There's nothing in me or you that keeps Him from loving us, because His reason for love is found wholly in Himself. If I'm looking for a reason in myself, apart from Christ, that He could love me, there's not a reason. But thank God, the reason for His love is found in Himself. And understand this. This is not unconditional love. People talk about unconditional love. There's no such thing. No one loves anyone unconditionally. You see, in Christ, as Christ is worthy of God's love, if I'm in Him, I'm worthy of God's love. God loves only the lovely. Yes, He loves sinners in Christ. Thank God for that. But those sinners in Christ are united to Him so that they're perfect in Him. And every believer actually deserves the love of God as they are in the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's not found in anything in them. Now, God is love. God is love. And God's love is uninfluenced by anything in me or you. Isn't it great? There's nothing you can do to lose it. And there's nothing you can do to gain it. Because His love, the reason for His love, is found in Himself. God is love. And thirdly, God's love is eternal. God's love is in Christ. God's reason for love is found in Himself. It's uninfluenced. And God's love is eternal. If He loves me now, He's always loved. There's never been a time when He didn't love me. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, God says, behold, I have loved you with an everlasting love, a love that never began. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, before time began, when there was no creation, all there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit loving one another in a glorious love that we can't get a hold of, even then, He knew me. Even then, He loved me. God has never had a new thought. He never began to love His people. His love is eternal. There's no starting point. It's eternal. If He loves me, He has always loved me. I've always been in Christ. His love's always been uninfluenced by anything in me. And His love to me is eternal in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next thing I'd like to say about the love of God. God is love. Scripture says that twice in 1 John 4. God is love. God's love is a sovereign love. That means He loves whom He will. Romans 9:13, that quotation from Malachi chapter 1. Jacob have I loved. That's God's sovereign choice. He picked out Jacob as an object of His affection. Jacob was chosen in Christ. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, I've heard people say, well, that means that he loved Esau less than he did Jacob. God loved less? That's blasphemous. That's utter blasphemy. God doesn't love less. God's love is sovereign, and His love must of necessity be a sovereign love because He Himself is sovereign. Now, let me emphasize this in the Scripture. Turn to Isaiah chapter 43. This is an amazing Scripture. Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Now listen. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. That's a strong statement, isn't it? Regarding God's love for His people. Now the natural man bristles against the fact that God's love is sovereign love and He chooses who He'll love. And they say, well, how can that be fair for Him to love Jacob over Esau? How could that be fair? Men sit in judgment on God. How can He be fair? He ought to love everybody the way I do. I'm thankful He doesn't. If that's the case, you wouldn't be the only one saved. I sure wouldn't be. I'd be out of the picture, and so would you. Thank God for His sovereign love, because if it wasn't for His sovereign love, no one would be saved. Now, God's love, not only is it sovereign, it's predestinating. It's predestinating. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now all that God loves have this predetermined end. You're going to be perfectly conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. you're going to be exactly like him. That's your predetermined end, and God has predetermined this end. And happen, it will, because it already has. That is predestination great or what? The fact that he has predestinated us to this end, to be perfectly conformed to the image of his Son. God created the universe so the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world would come in time to achieve this glorious end in predestination, and every one of God's people that he loves are going to be just like his Son. Then I can't talk about God's love without talking about the giving of God's love. It's not just in word. It's not just in word. Let me read these scriptures to you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten and well-beloved Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah, I love that verse of Scripture. I know that it's abused by religious people, and it doesn't say that God loves all men without exception. It's not even in the language. But God so loved the world that he gave. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man layeth down his life for his friends. Now, if you're somebody he loves, he counts you his friend. Abraham, my friend. Moses spake face to face with God as a man speaketh with his friends. And he laid down his life for his friends. Hereby, 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Now, if we have the proper response to that, it's, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Listen to this scripture in 1 John 4, 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God to us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Are you a sinner? Then Christ died for you. He laid down his life for you. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not? What could possibly prevent him from freely giving us all things? Oh, the giving of the love of God. He gave everything. Is it any wonder that John could only refer to himself as that disciple that Jesus loved? You know, people talk about other people, say, well, they really love the Lord. Well, I hope they do, but I like this much better. He's somebody the Lord really loves. When with the ransomed in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Child of God, for you, he spared not his own Son. And you can say with Paul concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he loved me. And he gave himself for me. Love gives, and God's love gives everything. God's love knows no bounds. It is infinite because it's in Christ. There's no stopping point. Thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, is there any bounds to God's love for a son? No. No limit. Thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. It's immutable. Having loved his own. Listen to this scripture. John 13:1. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. And that word end is also translated to the uttermost. He cannot love you less. He cannot love you more. It's a love that is infinite and knows no bounds. God is love. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, this is a very important point, because this, all of them are important, obviously. But this is so contrary to what is taught by most preachers and churches in our day. God's love is always saving love. Always saving love. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. God's love is always saving love. Now, I heard a preacher that believed in election, believed in Christ's effectual atonement, so he said. But he said that Christ sincerely offers his love to all men. And men in hell will realize that they rejected his sincere offer of love. And let me tell you something. A love like that won't do me any good. Nor will it do anybody else any good. And it's a misrepresentation of scriptures. And this preacher actually used the fact that the Lord looked at the rich young ruler. And the scripture says he beheld him and he loved him. And he said there's no evidence that that man was ever saved. There's all the evidence in the world the Lord loved him. What else you need? What else you want? There's all the evidence in the world. Listen to me. There's not going to be anybody in hell that he loved. His love is saving love. Everybody he loves, he saves. And you know, if you could love somebody and prevent them from going to hell and let them go to hell, what kind of love is that? It's utterly offensive to present God's love in such a manner. Well, we'd have somebody imprisoned if that was what their love was like. I love my child, but I'm not going to violate his free will. If he doesn't accept me, I'm going to let the car run over him. No, that person would be put in jail, in prison, put to death for a love like that. Yet that's the love of religious, wicked men and women attribute to God. It is not so. God's love is always saving love. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. And listen to this. God's love, anybody he loves, it's always going to be reciprocated. Listen to this scripture. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. There will be nobody that God loves that does not love him in return. All he loves, he saves. He loved me and gave himself for me. I repeat, God is love. And his love, according to the scriptures, is a chastening love. It's a chastening love. It says this, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And scourges every son that he receiveth. Now you think about your children. You love your children. You love them. What do? You chase them. You correct them. Why do you do this? Because you love them. You don't correct other people's children, do you? You don't chase other people's children. You don't have any right to. Don't be giving somebody else's kid a spanking. You do this with your own children. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now, I don't want to be chastened. But I don't want to be without chastening. It's not like I'm looking to be chastened. Here I am, give me a whipping. No, I'm not doing that. But I would hate to be without chastening, because this, if I'm chastened not, the scripture says I'm a bastard, not a son. I'm not a true child. So in that sense, I want his chastening hand upon me, because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son he receiveth. And this chastening is not punishment. It's given for this one reason, according to Hebrews 12, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's God's purpose in chastening. God is love, and whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You see, if he loves you, he's not going to let you leave him. You do it. You do it. He blocks the path. He keeps it from happening through his glorious, gracious, chastening hand. God is love, and whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now, I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. That's true with regard to everybody who knows his love. The love of Christ, his love to me, and my love to him. And my love to him is only because of his love to me. I know that. The love of Christ, not my love to him, but the love of Christ, constraineth us. That word means it holds us together lest we fall in pieces. It compresses us. It presses us on every side. It urges us. It impels us. It restrains us. And it constrains us. It makes us have this judgment. We thus judge, in light of the love of Christ, that if one died for all, and you know that's talking about all the elect, that's not talking about all men without exception, that's the all. If one died for all, then we're all dead. Dead. Punishment is over. Dead to sin. Dead to the law. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now, if the love of God does not constrain me, if the love of Jesus Christ does not constrain me, I don't know his love. Because this is true of all of his people. The love of Jesus Christ constrains me. Now, God's love. God is love. Amen? God is love. And even as I tried to preach this message, I'm painfully aware that I've not done this glorious subject justice, but nobody else could either. I don't care if the greatest preacher ever lived could not preach this message as it ought to be preached. God is love. But God's love, first of all, is in Christ. It's in Christ. Don't ever think of his love independent of Christ. It's in Christ. The Father loveth the Son. God's love is uninfluenced. There's nothing you can do to gain it, and there's nothing you can do to lose it. For His reason for love is found only in Himself. God's love is eternal. It never had a beginning point. Behold, I've loved you with an everlasting love. God's love is sovereign. And if I don't present it as sovereign love, I've not presented it, period. He loves whom He will. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Well, how could that be fair? They're workers of iniquity. God's righteous. He's just in hating all workers of iniquity. And He loves all righteous people, and all believers are righteous in Christ as they're united to Him. God's love gives. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not freely, freely give us all things? Behold, said He in the book of Hosea, chapter 14, I will love them freely. And God's love knows no bounds. There's nothing that can make Him love you more. There's nothing that can make Him love you less. God's love is always saving love. God's love is always chastening love. And God's love is always constraining love. And when we lay our beds on our pillow tonight, may this be our thought: God is love. God is spirit. He's right there with you. He's everywhere. You can't go anywhere where He's not. God is spirit. God is light. That means everything about Him, including His love, is holy, transparent. And God is love. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank You for Your love that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Lord, to know that nothing shall separate us from Thy love which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we give thanks. We give thanks that all Your love is in Your beloved Son. And Lord, He is altogether lovely to us. And we want nothing else but to be found in Him. And Lord, we pray not to be chastened, but Lord, we pray to not be without chastening, because You said in Your Word, who You love, You chasten. And Lord, we pray that we might be continually constrained by Your love. Lord, let us call ourselves what John called himself, that disciple that Jesus loved. In His blessed name we pray.